Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 18. We're going to read verses 37 and 38 from John chapter 18. And our subject this morning is, what is truth? What is truth? From John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. Most of you remember that this is the occasion of Jesus being tried in Pilate's hall. Pilate's putting him through the third degree. Want to know all about this situation. Typical of rulers. They don't know much about what's going on until the papers are before them. And then they got to play catch up to find out what's going on. And this is Pilate's case here in John 18. And as he questions Jesus, we find in verse 37 of this portion of Scripture, Pilate therefore said unto him, Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. I want you to notice that Jesus used Pilate's own declaration to properly categorize himself. Jesus didn't say, yep, I'm a king. He said, you say I'm a king. So he's using Pilate's testimony here. A very ingenious technique that the Lord Jesus used that day. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. We live in a generation today that's been thoroughly taught to believe that truth is relative. And I can say amen to that. Truth is relative. But it's relative to only one thing. It's relative to thus saith the Word of God. But that's not what our philosophers today mean when they say truth is relative. What they mean is that it can be one thing to one person, another totally opposite thing to another, and yet both exist as truth. How paradoxical is that, brothers and sisters? How strange, how self-contradictory is the definition of truth that says you can believe that night is bright and I can believe it's dark, and your truth is just as justifiable, just as sound, just as well-founded as my truth. The truth, brothers and sisters, is that when dark is dark and night and light is light, the truth of that is that dark is dark and light is light. It is not that dark may be light and light may be dark at all. But that's what our philosophers tell us. And this view was common among humans even in the days of Pilate. Now it's had this philosophy. Truth has had all these years to be refined by ingenious skeptics and men who present themselves as being open-minded and receptive to other views. And it's all the craze today to let everybody's opinion have credibility and never challenge beliefs and views of others, because that's not politically correct. Isn't that what we're living in? Isn't that the way our society is today? Now, in the matter of truth, philosophers of this day love to illustrate the diversity of perceived truth by using such illustrations as we might use to describe three or four people looking at a mountain. They'll take such an analogy and they'll say, three or four people are looking at a mountain. One of them's on the north side, where it's very steep and very rocky, and he's looking up at the mountain and he says, This obstruction before me is nearly impassable and would take an expert mountain climber to dare to try to scale it. And another viewer would be on the south side of the mountain where the hills are gently rolling and the mountain goes up very slowly. And he'll be standing up on these sloping hills of the mountain and he'll say, "This mountain is a beautiful and luxuriant, gently rolling landscape that is pleasing to the eye and comfortable to be in and enjoyable in every way." And the third person might be viewing this mountain from an airplane flying over. And he gets over the top of it and he says, "This is a craggy, desolate, forbidding landscape with huge updrafts that might tend to blow my plane off course or even cause me to crash into the side of one of those peaks. So this is a very treacherous place to be and not comfortable at all." And another, a fourth viewer might view this mountain from 100 miles off and look at it and say, that view, that structure there, that mountain is a beautiful cone, all luxuriant on the sides, peaked with a beautiful white cap. A wonderful thing to behold in the landscape before me." Four people, four views, all looking at the same mountain, coming up with different ways of seeing it. And that is often the kind of analogy philosophers of the day use to describe what truth really is. That's not what truth is. Truth really is not four different views or 1,000 different views. That is one's view of truth or two people's view of truth or 3 or 4 or 1,000 people's view of truth, but it is not truth. Now, Pilate's question was a rhetorical question. Pilate already had his mind made up about what truth was. And so do many people today. Pilate saw truth from his own perspective, and he would argue truth from his perspective of being the governor of the land, being an unbeliever, and having certain axioms that he lived by. And philosophers today who argue for different interpretations of truth have what I call the Pontius Pilate syndrome. Because they view truth from their peculiar and particular viewpoint. Now this morning, I want to look at some aspects of truth and see if the Holy Spirit would lead us to a clear view of what truth is. I think that most of you this morning that are saved feel like you know something about what truth is. But if we'll follow the Spirit of God this morning through the Bible and think about aspects of truth and arrive at a final, if you will, culmination of what truth is and see that truth, real, actual truth personified, is really a composite of all the things we're going to see in the Bible, I think we can go away from here with a lot better perspective on what truth is than maybe when we came. Now, in order to lead us down that path, I want to say, first of all, that the Jews claim truth is the law, or in the Hebrew, the word is Torah. Most of you have heard Torah. It means the law. Jews believe that the truth is the law and the commandments. Commandments in the Hebrew word being mitzvah. So the Jews believe that the truth of God, or that truth explicitly, is Torah and mitzvah. Now, I'm going to make a qualified statement about the Jews' belief about this. The Jews believe that, and the Bible in the Old Testament backs them up in it. So when I begin to examine the Jews' belief about Torah and mitzvah, and finally demonstrate to you that that's not the whole truth, and use the Scripture in the New Testament to show you that, and take you down to the place where what the Torah and the mitzvah really represents about truth, you'll see that it's only when the way the Jews view Torah and mitzvah is only part of the truth. It is a shadow of things that were to come, that came, that we saw, that we beheld, that we handled of the words of life, as the Apostle John put it. And when we're through, maybe we can see the fullness of truth. Now, the Jews refer to the Torah, and here's the Bible truth that is spoken about Torah, or the law. Psalms 119, 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, speaketh David to God, and thy law, Torah, is the truth. Doesn't that say it? Yes, it does. So we won't deny that. The law of God is the truth. But the Jews refer to the Torah as the absolute benchmark for morality. And when you start writing or reading about the writings of God, you find written in the law guidelines which are in fact the absolute benchmark for moral behavior. They also say that the Torah is the God-given blueprint for living. And within limits, that is also true. Because they reflect something that I hope we can see this morning that is far greater than the law by itself. We find that the Jews, of course, just briefly, let me clarify, the Torah, the law, consists of the five books of Moses, the eight books of the prophets, the 11 books of what they call the writings, which are Psalms and Proverbs and Job and Song of Solomon and Ruth and Lamentations and Ecclesiastes and Esther and Daniel and the two Chronicles, which they have as one Chronicle. I don't know if I've missed any or not, but the 11 books of the writings. So the Torah to them is the truth or part of the truth. And as I said, the other part is the mitzvah, or the commandments of God. Now, the Jews recognize 613 commandments written in the Torah. Within the Torah is the mitzvah. And in the mitzvah are 613 plain commandments, they say. I think 365 of them are what they call thou shalt not commandments. And the remainder are thou shalt or positive commandments. So they refer to them as 365, if you will, negative or thou shalt not commandments, and the remainder as positive commandments. So Jews recognize 613 in the Torah. The Jews claim, and rightly so, that these commandments are not susceptible to reform and cannot be influenced or swayed by public opinion or contemporary thought. Now, I wish that the Jews would live by that rule. But if you'll take a short walk through Jewish history, go backward from the day, and read a little bit about Jewish traditions and ceremonies, what you discover is that since the times of Christ, Jews have been changing their ceremonies are supposed to reflect obedience to those 613 commandments. And they've changed them so starkly that many of them do not even remotely look like the practices that the original children of Israel practiced in obedience to the mitzvah. Now, the mitzvah, they claim, also reflects the infinite and eternal nature of their author. And they do. They do. Now, we don't have time to deal with the Torah and the things in the Torah and get inside it, nor the mitzvah and get inside it. But I'm going to lead you down a trail where you can identify with that which represents fully the Torah and the mitzvah. But first, let me say that as far as their knowledge goes, the Jews are on the right track about saying that the Torah and the mitzvah, the law and the commandments, are the truth of God. But there's something flawed in their reasoning And the New Testament clarifies that. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 2. I want to read a couple of verses from Romans chapter 2, and reading verse 17, and then verse 20. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul is talking to the Jews, and he says to them, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." He says, "I recognize that you Jews that are Jews by faith and practice rest in the law." Then go to verse 20, and he says, "I go on to say that you're an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge, and, if I may say, the form of the truth in the law." The form of the truth in the law. Now here's the Greek word form. Might well be understood to us to mean it has the appearance or the semblance of the truth. You hold a semblance of the truth in that law which you hold to. That's what he's saying. And so in the Torah, they are correct. They have what God has declared to be the truth. But the apostle says, you've only got a form. You've only got a semblance. Now, while Paul recognized that the breath of God is exhibited in the writing of the Old Testament Scriptures, that is, inspiration of God in the Old Testament Scriptures, he also recognized how the Jews had taken the writings and made those writings into the truth rather than have understood them to have been God's words to men explaining what the truth looks like. That is to say, God was describing truth, and the Torah and the mitzvah stood as beacons lighting the way to ultimate truth. That's what the Torah and the mitzvah did then and do today. The Old Testament and what it says is without power unless it points someone to what it's talking about, if you will, to whom it is talking about. And that gives away my last beacon or last explanation of God as to what the truth is. But before I go there, I want to point out that there's another key to God's revelation of truth to men besides the Torah and the mitzvah. There's more than the Old Testament writings in the law and the prophets and the writings of the lesser prophets and those other books and the commandments that are contained in those books. There's more. There's another key to God's revelation of truth to men. You find the explanation of it in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, chapter 33 and verse 4, hear what God says is the other key to God's revelation of truth to men. "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in the truth." So the works of God are part of God's revelation of what truth is. The works of God reveal God's truth to men. Now, we can say then that the law and the prophets speak to us in the writings about what God's truth is. The commandments of God speak to us about behavior of which, if such behavior is practiced, the behaviors that are practiced point to the truth of God. So far, so good. And we can say that when we see some work of God in creation, we are looking at God's exhibition of what truth really is. Now, brethren, follow me on this because it sounds like I'm teaching a seminary course, but I'm not. I'm wanting to lead you to a place to properly glorify the personification of truth, of the very truth of God. Now, with all this said, here's the last key to God's revelation of truth to men. This sermon needs about 2 hours. I'm highlighting this sermon, and I'm going to get done probably on time. But I want each of you to take home what we're looking at today and spend some time thinking about it. Turn to John 14 and verse 6, and let's see the last key to God's revelation of truth to men. This verse is so well known by this congregation that you can quote it blindfolded with your ears stopped. Because I quote it frequently. Brother Ed quotes it frequently. Brother James has quoted it a multitude of times. But let's look at it again. John 14, 6. I'm going to pick out the salient phrases in that verse that I want to emphasize. Jesus saith in that verse, I am the truth. Now let's reconcile that with what we've already said about the Torah, the mitzvah, and the works of God. What we need to see is that when Jesus says, I am the truth, Jesus is saying, I am all the truth. I'm the truth of God rolled up into one ball of wax. I'm everything of truth that has been partially revealed to you in the law. I am all of the truth that has been partially revealed to you in the prophets. I am all of the truth that has been partially revealed to you by the acting out of the behavior that the Jews have acted out in trying to obey the 613 commandments that are in the Torah of God. And I am all of the truth that God has personified or exhibited to His creatures in the works that He has performed in their presence. From the making of the world to the present hour, saith the Lord Jesus Christ, I am all that truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I have variously measured the magnitude of this statement of Christ in my life of service to the Lord. And sometimes that measurement hasn't been nearly as infinite as I hope this scope, this viewpoint, is making it for you this morning. Whatever you have viewed Jesus to be when He says, I am the truth, up until this morning, I hope from today forward, you'll be able to see that when He says that, He's not bragging about something. He's telling you, look at me, because if you're seeking some element of truth, some part of God's truth, some bit of God's truth, some depth of God's truth, some height of God's truth, some magnitude whatsoever of God's truth, look unto me, because you can find it there. I don't know about you, but really, that so charges me up to study more about the life of Jesus while He was here on earth. To study more about what Jesus has said about Himself in heaven. To study more about what the law and the prophets have said about Jesus than ever before. I am the truth, He says. Now, as I mentioned at the start and down through the list, we have three outlets for God's revelation of what truth is. Then, we have truth personified, having presented Himself before men. If that's true, and it is, if that's truth, then what's the common denominator? How can we talk about the three things I mentioned to you, the Torah, the mitzvah, and the works of God, and say, there's truth of God, and then take Jesus Christ and say, He is all the truth. How can they be reconciled? Quickly, the common denominator can be summed up in this statement. Where those three that I named to you are found totally, in totality, in Christ, is this way. Truth is what we're talking about. And truth is an attribute of God revealed to us by the principles of God. It's an attribute of God revealed to us by the principles of God. Now let me just stop and say right here before I go further into that, that when Jesus said, I am the truth, He wasn't saying, that's all I am. So as I expound the truth that is Christ, don't get the idea that that's all He is. In fact, in the same verse, He declared that He was the truth, the way, and the life. Three things there already among the many multitudes of things that He is. But He is the personification of the truth. And so, we see then the principles of God written in the Torah. The principles of God are here in the Old Testament. God has written the principles that He operates by, that He calls His creatures to operate by. That's essentially the Torah. God has outlined ways for human beings to behave that defines acting out the principles of God. That's the mitzvah. Because it's all about, to the Jews, it's all about what's my behavior supposed to be in the light of what God tells me to do. Why it's behaving in such a way as to keep His commandments. And the works of God reveal the principles of God acting toward creation. You know, God doesn't operate in His works by some kind of vagrant, variable set of principles. God has set principles chiseled in the stone of eternity, and He operates consistently by those principles. And so His works conform to a set of principles. Now, when we see these three things, we see all three of these, if you will, allow me, these declarations of God's truth revealed in Jesus Christ. We see the Torah revealed in Christ, we see the mitzvah revealed in Christ, and we see the works of God revealed in Christ. We see the Torah revealed in Christ, remember the Torah is the law, because everything that He did gave homage to the law of God. He didn't break one single law. And his life on earth was a living testimony as to what God's law means in the universe. And then we see His behavior, the acts that He did. His behavior on earth reflected total obedience to all, if there are only 613, all 613 commandments of God. All of them, whatever number they are, He kept the whole commandments of God to the jot and to the tittle. And so His behavior reflected truth as revealed in the mitzvah. And then His acts. His acts as the Son of God and the Son of Man exhibited all the characteristics that confirm the principles of God. What Jesus did in His acts as God with us confirmed the truths of God. You don't find one untruth in Him. You don't find one iota of darkness in Him. Every deed, every act, every thought that came from the Lord Jesus Christ was totally in conformity to the works of God which testify to the truth of God. Now this, brothers and sisters, is pretty much an overview or summary of what is true. Pilate asked the question. Ask yourself the question, what is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ, and that can be broken down in which we look at Jesus' behavior, Jesus' presence in the world, Jesus' words and deeds and thoughts as exemplifying everything that the law stands for, everything that the commandments stand for, and every principle by which God's works are performed. They're all represented in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my conclusion. Brothers and sisters, in a world where philosophical ideas say that truth can be anything based on how you see it, we need an anchor for truth in these very troubling times. We need an anchor that's unmoving. One that we can set our feet down on and say, here's the truth, and on this I can stand. You won't find any error or ambivalence in what Jesus Christ represents. None. And you can depend on that. So let's seek our definition of what truth is by looking at the declaration of God, the behavior of God, and the divine acts of God, and to find where those have occurred so that we can look at them plainly. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Him is all truth exhibited, personified. Jesus Christ is the truth.